It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 653. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me questions and suggestions for show topics at miketechshow@gmail.com. You can leave me a voicemail message on Skype. The name is Mike Tech Show, all one word. Follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/miketechshow, and also facebook.com/miketechshow. The Mike Tech Show is brought to you by Instant House Call. Remotely support your customers unattended and on demand through firewalls. Try it free by clicking on the link on my website at miketechshow.com or go directly to instanthousecall.com. Use the promo code MikeTechShow for your free 15-day trial. Show is also brought to you by Malwarebytes. Malwarebytes has a portable all-in-one computer toolkit called the Malwarebytes Toolset to help you diagnose, remediate, repair, and secure PCs. One of the many great features included is a My Tools feature to help you integrate your favorite tools to make the toolset work with your specific repair environment. For my techs and myself, we have SIW, Rogue Killer, Crystal Disk Info. We have added all of our favorite tools included. So not only do you have the great utilities from the tool set, you can integrate your own. So now it's one stop for all of your repair and analysis tools. This is required on every USB stick, anybody doing work for me. Tonight's show, networking stories from the trenches, a Windows 10 problem with the last update I've noticed, some Windows 10 features that we hope are going to be positive for the Spring Creators update. I have a printer problem that a client is having that I need some recommendations. So let's begin. A few weeks ago, I talked about a dry loop DSL for a client that had multiple DSLs and they were migrating to Fios. Well, yesterday was the migration and I have a car wash with two bays. And this is one of those automated car washes that's open 24 hours a day. The client can drive up, use their credit card and go right in and it's automatic and it's open 365, 24 hours a day. It's attached to an auto repair shop, tires and just your standard, anything going wrong with your car. So this is a new client. The preparation that I did paid off. Let me go in some detail of the setup here. We have dial-up in these enclosed boxes, one at each car wash bay, that dials up for credit card authorization. Inside, there is a router with VPN access that's from the manufacturer that will set up, this is where that dry loop DSL came into, that gives all of the alert. It connects to all of the back end equipment of the car wash and reports on everything. So the owner gets immediate results of anything that's happening on the phone. And you can go right in to the equipment and get stats and monitoring. Very impressive. Now, we have another DSL connection for the cameras, and there's 16 cameras that are connected to a PC that's doing all of the recording. And there's also remote access for that from an app on the phone. We then have the rest of the normal computers that make up the rest of the office and out into the repair bays. There's computers and test equipment that are connected to the internet. My challenge was to make sure we had all of the proper equipment for the day of the migration, where the DSLs are going away and the phone lines are being moved from copper to the Fios. So the first thing we needed to do, and this was just so brutal, working with Verizon over the last couple months, and we've had multiple cancellations because of the weather and the storms. Each Wednesday, where there was a snowstorm here, was the day Verizon was supposed to do something and had to be canceled. It just, that's the way it worked. And it was just very difficult. Then they got the order wrong and we wouldn't even let them do something one day, because all we wanted was the internet Fios set up so we could do some work. That didn't happen till last week. But we tested it. The internet's working. We had the Fios router. Perfect working. Five static IP addresses, because if you need more than one, you have to get a block of five. And I believe the same is with Comcast. So now we have the static IPs. And here's what we had to do yesterday. The electrician, he had to very carefully convert the cables that were going to the credit card machines to Cat 5. So the runs were already done, but something we discovered, which was a challenge, which was getting the one cable from the one machine to the other underground. Luckily, we were able to find a wire at each end and we were able to do a pull and pull it through. Well, we were going from dial-up to internet, and we had to make sure those cables went all the way back to their own router, which then came up to that router, connected to a hub. So we put a hub in front of the Fios connection. So if you plugged anything in, nothing would work unless it had one of the static IP addresses. So the first device off the hub is the Verizon router, and it's got its one, the public IP address they gave us. Then the next one is the router for the credit cards. The credit card machines all home run back to there. The next is a router to the VPN of the car wash. The next one is a router that has the remote access for the cameras. Everything completely separated. Now we have all these public IPs. I cleaned up so many devices. That sounds like there's a lot of devices there. You wouldn't believe the little switches and the hubs and the mess that I inherited, that I was able to eliminate it all. We put a 16-port switch for the rest of the company and all of the regular machines that just need normal internet access. We started at 10. By 2 o'clock, we were done. 4 hours, everything tested, everything beautiful. We had to take one ADSL router and totally replace that. The dry loop one was very easy because all I had to do was change the public IP address. Change that, they were able to test, was perfect. The one thing that made me nervous was the biggest change was to the credit cards. And then to see that test go through on the one machine, that was great. To me, going into this project, that was the biggest challenge. And the back out would have been Verizon couldn't get rid of the DSL connections and those dial-up connections, because we would have had to maintain that in order to continue taking credit cards. So it was critical that we made everything work yesterday. I got an incredible email from the owner thanking us for such professional and diligent work on the job and making sure everything was good. The reason why it worked, when I did my analysis, I went and checked every router and made sure that I had the login information, and this owner was very meticulous in documenting everything. So I had the login and password for all the devices, and that made a world of difference. I was able to go in and I ran a separate scan from Newt Pro. That's what goes out and scans what's on there. So I got a Newt Pro report. Then I logged in and did a snippet for each of the screens that had the firewall and rules settings, any IP info. I did all that. I then hit every single machine and got an SIW report. I took pictures of the models of each and every router, device, switch, and hub that I came across when I did my walkthrough. And you know, it sounds like, wow, Mike, you were there forever doing that. I did that in 2 hours. Just myself on site, 2 hours. I was able to go through everything a month or so ago, and I was able to get all of the recon that I needed. Now, I had to go back and analyze that and recommend what equipment had to be pre-bought. And that was easy. One big switch to consolidate all the little switches. One router. All we had to do was just replace one router, and we were fine. We also needed, I think, an 8-port switch and a 5-port switch that are two other locations. With all that preparation, everything worked perfectly. That's the point. If you want a project, any kind of work that you're doing, put in the time to do the analysis and make sure you've thought of everything. And doing that made my life so much easier yesterday for my son and I while we were on site. Everything went exactly like it was supposed to. I can't believe I'm saying that. I thought tonight would be a story of problems and challenges that we ran into, but everything went perfect. Very happy. There is one thing that was out of my control that I could use a recommendation for. There is a Windows 7 embedded. I have not worked with Windows 7 embedded, and this is part of some of test equipment. It's on the regular network, and I'm trying to get a print driver for Canon multifunction device. I think it's an 8380 image class. I can't get a driver. Every driver I download, it will not work. It's a 32-bit Windows 7 embedded. So I have a different approach I'm going to take. I'm not sure what's available in Windows Update when I go to add the printer and it finds it on the network and then it can't load the driver. I'm going to take a look and see what comes up with Windows Update and get a Canon that's close enough to it, maybe that's listed. Because all we got to do is get some black and white prints there. We don't even need color. That's the one challenge that I have to double back on and solve. The next networking story is from today. I have a client. This is the first client moving. I said there's going to be several moves over the next few months. This client is moving, and they have voice over IP with 8x8. It's a very small office. We only got 4 phones. Their fax is a typical analog fax that connects directly into their Sharp multifunction system. Before the move, they want to upgrade to faxing and port the number to 8x8. Now, to do that, you have to have a special device, which they sent out a week ago, but the device didn't have enough network connections on it. It only had one, where that would be great if you were just plugging into the network, and then there's a phone jack. The device I'm talking about, and this will make it clear if you look it up, and I'm going to have a link to it. It's the Cisco SPA-122 Small Business ATA with Router. That's the one we bought that had an internet port, a regular Ethernet port, and 2 phones. So basically, you're converting the Ethernet to analog phone so you can fax via voice over IP. This is a very typical device. I have it in a couple clients. It's usually plug and play. You plug it in, you connect it up, you activate everything with your carrier for the VoIP, no problem. This device has been causing us such havoc. We've tried everything. We're having problems where we can't print to the printer while this device is connected up, and we have the pass through. It was so complicated. Today, my son spent Monday or Tuesday on site doing everything, brought the device back here. I worked on it. So we blocked out this afternoon to go over there, and we were not going to leave till this worked. And all of a sudden, I had a brainstorm while we were coming up the elevator to this office. And I thought to myself, why are we going through this and doing this today? The client's going to pay. like $30 a month for this one line from 8x8? Why don't we just get eFax and convert them to cloud-based faxing where it'll just be emailed to them? Now, this client deals with a lot of inbound faxes, and they rarely send one. What their clients do is for reorders and different things, they fax it in. So they receive a few faxes every day. So the eFax Pro account that gets them 200 inbound pages is only $19.95 a month. They will actually save $10 a month, and we don't have to go through the continued expense of trying to get this device to work. And we've eliminated a device. I can't believe I didn't think of this until today. So today was very easy. I thought I was going to have a story talking about how I had to handle this Cisco device and what I had to go through or what I had to do to resolve it. What we did was packed it up so it could be sent back and then had the client register for an eFax account. And then all they got to do is port that number, their main fax number, over. Done. Now it's cloud-based faxing, which is the way it should be. I have a couple clients like that. I don't know why I didn't think of that before, but we weren't even presented until like a week and a half ago that this was even going to happen, that this was even on their radar to do. I assumed, never assume, that they were going to continue the same way they were faxing when they moved. So Verizon would just port the number from one location to another. Done. Well, no. They wanted to do this to eliminate that connection from Verizon at the new office. That made it very, very easy and my client's happy. I have a client that has an HP P1102W printer. Here's the problem. After an hour, it's set to go to sleep. But upon printing, it should just wake up and you print. Well, once it sleeps, that's it. It doesn't wake up. You have to reboot it in order to get it to work. Sounds like a problem I had with some clients and mine. Different model, but an HP printer. And the firmware update solved the problem. Client last night successfully applied the latest firmware. And for a while, I got a really positive email that, hey, Mike, it worked. It fixed. Thank you. Thank you. Well, before I started the show this evening, I get an email, Mike, it still goes to sleep now and doesn't wake up. So need some suggestions. That's the HP P1102W printer will not wake up after going to sleep, and it's got the latest, greatest firmware. And I know this is kind of a common problem. I have a link of some things to try from the HP forums, and I'm going to put it out there, and I have not even had a chance to email that to my client, and I'm going to do that, and we're going to see how it is, but definitely please weigh in for that and help me out. Now, a couple Windows 10 things. My main workhorse laptop is a refurbed Lenovo ThinkPad that I've had it for a couple years. I put a 500 gig SSD. It's got the Windows 10 Pro. It's got 8 gigs of RAM. It is a nice workhorse laptop that I take to every client. This is what I plug into to test. It's got the Malwarebytes tool set. It's got SIW. It's got Noop Pro. Everything I use, I have right on this. This is my main laptop. So because I was traveling, you know, a week or so ago, I knew there were some Windows 10 updates. I wanted to charge it up. A couple days ago, I put this on. I turn it on, and it does an update. Yeah, it's charging up. Starts a restart. Can't find the hard drive at all. I was so mad. I restarted it again. I just got a menu to boot from the network, boot from. If seeing the SATA drive, it would not boot. I'm like, oh, I can't believe this. I turned it off, and then this week I had my son take out the drive so I could put it in a dock and copy some data that I knew I had, but I just wanted to double check. The drive was readable. I did a test on it. Everything's clean. It's perfect. Just nice Samsung 500 gig SSD. I got the data that I wanted off of it. He put it back. I said, give it a try. Turned it on. He says, nope, it's not working. Pulled the power plug, and he just on his own tried it again. I said, go into the BIOS and see if it can see the drive. My son says, Dad, it's finishing a Windows 10 update now. I said, really? That was the update that started that all of a sudden I turned around and this, you know, this machine was off and it couldn't boot. It finished the update, booted, everything's fine. Not a problem. My son's laptop, totally different. It's a Dell Latitude. He calls me up. He said, Dad, I applied the latest update. This was the next night. He says, I had the same problem. I had to pull the plug, wait. It took a couple reboots. And finally, the update would say it's finishing and you could go in. Yesterday, two clients, we had panic phone calls in the morning. Same issue. Their desktops, totally different clients, totally different. Windows 10. Thank you, Windows 10, for your amazing updates. So beware, there's an update happening that causes on the restart when it's going to finish the update, it cannot see the boot device. And you kind of have to kick it a couple times to restart where it'll finally see the boot manager. It'll finally go in. It'll see the drive. It'll finish the update. And then all is well. But again, a real annoyance. This leads to an article that I will include in the show notes. The 7 best new features of Windows 10 Spring Creators Update. What are some of these features that CNET thinks are really good? Timeline. It's a task view now understands the passage of time. Prior to the Spring Creators Update, when you click the task view button to the right of Cortana, it showed you thumbnails of your active apps and windows. Now, when you open task view, it includes a timeline below your current windows that shows thumbnails of the files and sites you accessed in the past 30 days. I don't know. If you'd prefer not to have your recent activity show up, which it sounds like me, then you have to go to Settings, Privacy, Active History, and you can toggle off Show Activities from Accounts. So at least we can turn that off if we don't want it. I certainly don't want it. Nearby Sharing. This is another one that I don't know if I want. It's like Apple has AirDrop, and now Microsoft has Nearby Sharing. I don't know. But again, you can set your sharing tolerance level with Settings, System, Shared Experiences, and either everybody nearby or my devices only. So I know I'm going to be setting my devices only. This is a feature that we may like, Focus Assist, but it wasn't called that. In the development, it was going to be called Quiet Hours. Now it's called Focus Assist. So you get 3 options for letting the operating system not perform any updates or do anything. You can turn it off, get priority only, or alarms only. Priority only will disable notifications except for those apps and people you add to your priority list. Because if you notice Windows 10, I'll get like Facebook alerts and all kinds of things, and I don't want to be annoyed. When I'm working on something, leave me alone. I want my operating system to leave me alone. And Windows 10 doesn't like that. So you can set quiet time here, what they call Focus Assist. So I'm very, very glad that we can start turning that off. This option is going to be embraced, and this is a great option. Password recovery for local accounts. One of the biggest problems, if you create a local account on Windows 10 and you have a user that forgets the password, game over. You're done. Unless you get a cracking utility or something to be able to break in. Well, how about they're adding security questions to local accounts? So you can go to Settings, Accounts, Sign-in Options, and update your security questions. Do that for your clients so when they forget a password, let's hope their security questions they can answer and that they know whatever rule they have for answering security questions. Because if you remember way back when I did my security assessment and what people should be doing, we recommended putting a PIN number maybe in the front and the back of the question, spelling your answer backwards. There's lots of things you can do to secure your answers to security questions. Make sure that you set this up. I think this is a really good feature. Password recovery for local accounts. Choose your GPU For laptops with dual graphics, the Spring Creators update makes it easier to select which apps use the onboard graphics chip for better battery life or your dedicated graphics chip for better performance. That's kind of cool. Settings, system display, and then graphics settings. Windows Diagnostic Data Viewer. This is where you can view the diagnostic data that's going up to Microsoft. Now, are they really being honest? Are they really going to show us everything that they're collecting? And then there's an option there to delete the diagnostic data. Again, is it really deleted? Is it really as private as we think, like Facebook? I had to put that jab in there. And then there's mute tabs in Edge. I am not an Edge user. Why did something so simple take so long? This article says Microsoft's Edge browser finally catches up to Chrome and Firefox by letting you mute tabs. One of the most annoying thing is me having a tab open, and I hate that autoplay where it starts autoplaying a video or an ad or something. I don't like that. Here, you can easily click and unmute and mute a tab. All right. That is it for tonight's show. I want to thank everybody for supporting the show by using the Amazon link in the show notes. This supports Carrie Holzman and myself. Carrie and I did a Tech Vets last Monday. It's an unusual Tech Vets because it's not only is it an hour and 45 minutes long, the last 45 minutes is not tech. It's an interesting analysis from Carrie and I about our past. You may relate to it. We really open up and we're very, very honest. Take a listen. Definitely send Carrie and I your comments. But that Amazon link, your price stays the same, but a small commission comes back to Carrie that we're sharing. I want to thank everybody for supporting the Mike Tech Show. Please visit the sponsors. InstantHouseCall.com. Check it out. That's a great, great remote control, remote access program. And we also, malwarebytes.com/techbench. Take a look at the whole TechBench suite of helping your business. Take a look at all those options. There's lots of things in there that you can apply for becoming a member of the TechBench. That's it. I will see everybody next week, same time. Same channel. Bye-bye, everybody.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.